A long day today for Attorney General William Barr, answering a Senate committee's questions about the Mueller report. Not surprisingly, Barr's take was in strictly legal, not political terms.
I decided to simply state what the bottom line conclusions were, which is what the department normally does, make a binary determination. Is there a crime or isn't there a crime?
There's no room for interpretation, though, when it comes to Russian interference in the 2016 presidential race and a definite coziness between Trump's team and Russian officials. And now all of that is a backdrop to the geopolitical rivalry between the U.S. and Russia, a relationship that Ambassador John Huntsman has to manage carefully.
Russia's ability to settle things down as opposed to inflame things is a really important role to play. And if I could wave a magic wand, that would be my hope in terms of the responsible contribution that Russia could make going forward, and one that I think, in a sense, they're trying to work through, notwithstanding their desire as well to keep us off balance wherever they can.
He made that comment this morning to The World's Marco Werman, who's reporting in Russia this week. Marco interviewed Huntsman today at Spasso House, the ambassador's residence in Moscow, and he asked the ambassador about the long game in Russian politics and how it affects a young generation of Russians who've only known Vladimir Putin as the country's leader.
At some point, Vladimir Putin will no longer be president of Russia. What do you imagine a post-Putin Russia will look like for young people here?
It's hard to know. We've never seen the kind of phenomena play out that we're seeing today in society, whether it's here, China, or a lot of other places. And that is a coming to the forefront of the internet generation. Those who have had at their fingertips the ability to access the world, even to organize without stepping a foot outside, to organize, to come together around common interests. I think that's an extension of the human spirit. It doesn't matter where you live. I think it's an extension of the human spirit. So I think that probably will be more and more of a pressure point in politics as we go forward. It's hard to know what it will look like, but I think it will be a pressure point.
We seem to be pretty much over the hump with the Mueller report, aside from the political aspect of it. You've been pretty quiet through the whole probe. What door has now opened for you diplomatically with Russia now that all the commotion of the Mueller report is in the past?
Well, it's important that it's done, that it was investigated, and that professionals put time and energy into it. And here we are. I think many on the Russian side conclude that maybe this is the magic elixir and all of our issues are all of a sudden solved. And we have to remind them that, no, this does not solve any of our issues. We still have a lot of the underlying challenges and problems that brought us to where we are today, that brought about the unprecedented level of sanctions and the deterioration in our diplomatic presence. So it may create a little more space, and it may mean that members in Congress will be more willing to engage where they've been uniformly angry and concerned, rightly, about the events of 2016. But I can imagine that this will allow us to take some positive steps, maybe less on the Russia side, but maybe more on the U.S. side in terms of our gaining a little more connectivity, which is a good thing because nations need to talk. The estrangement which we've experienced in the bilateral relationship has gone on too long, and the estrangement can lead to bad conclusions, always assuming the worst in the other, which is long-term, I think, potentially extremely dangerous. So opening up new channels that maybe this kind of slightly improved environment will allow us to do, I think, would actually be a good thing.
I'm curious, what was it like a couple of Thursdays ago when the Mueller report came down?
Well, I asked for our FBI office to give me an advance copy, and of course they didn't. I thought I'd get a little bit of inside information, but no such luck. You know, it's a voluminous report, and, you know, people will read it and sort through the details. For purposes of our discussions here, it really does present, as we've discussed with the Russian side, the level of detail that we have talked about in terms of the meddling that took place in 2016. And hopefully that will be a cautionary note about how we go forward and stay away from meddling and interfering in our election process, which is the most valued thing we have as Americans.
I want to ask you a couple of things about things in the news right now. Yesterday, the U.S. Embassy in Syria expressed alarm over Russian bombing in Idlib province in northern Hama. The Russians are apparently ignoring pleas to not bomb the White Helmets, the humanitarian organization. That was brought up at the UN yesterday. How will you bring this up with the Kremlin?
It's been a humanitarian catastrophe in Syria, and I think we can't help but reflect on the millions of people who have been forced to flee the country. And the job now has to be to settle out the security situation and allow them to return to a country they love, and to figure out a political process in Damascus that will be equal to the aspirations of the Syrian people. We have some very able representatives on the U.S. side, Ambassador Jeffries, who is very much involved with his counterpart, Mr. Lavrentiev. They have a very substantive dialogue in terms of the steps that must be taken to settle out the security situation. We have a professional military-to-military relationship. We call it deconfliction to make sure that we don't end up bombing each other. That's been handled very, very professionally, and it's active and it's regular. So there's a lot that is going out behind the scenes that a lot of people don't see. It would be very, very important, and we stress this with our Russian counterparts whenever we can, to get back to the UN-mandated process. A political settlement in Damascus, bringing in the various factions of the ongoing civil war and coming up with a roadmap that would allow the country to settle down, both from a security standpoint and politically.
President Trump, though, has pulled troops out of Syria, and despite this agreement for deconfliction, I mean, Russia has the upper hand. How is that going to make your conversation with the Kremlin about this more complicated?
Well, we have troops that will remain. I think there is an understanding in terms of the presence on the ground that will be needed in order to accomplish our mission, which is to the de-ISIS campaign, number one, and making sure that we can bring stability to the country. It's a critically important part of our dialogue between both countries, and will continue to be. It's also hard to imagine, Marco, that we can get to a legitimate endpoint, a Middle East that is settled down without the United States and Russia collaborating. This, again, gets to the theme of so much of what we do here in Moscow. We have our differences, and some of them are profoundly deep and maybe irreconcilable. But we do have an obligation to work together in areas where, if we're not both at the table, we're not going to get to a solution, and that's going to mean lives lost.
You see it that way. Does the Kremlin see it that way? Collaboration is necessary.
They would not be as engaged in the process as they are today if they didn't see it that way. I think absolutely they see it that way. Do they like our presence where we find ourselves? Do they like our power and leverage? Do they like the fact that we've written the lyrics for the world over the last 70, 75 years? No. They'd like different lyrics. But we are where we are, and we've got to figure out a higher cruising altitude that will allow us to work collaboratively.
Ambassador Huntsman, thank you very much.
It's a great pleasure. Thank you, Marco.
The rest of Marco's interview with Ambassador Huntsman and photos of his visit are at theworld.org.